fellow who has a big party, big to-do, and he invites some people to come, and they don't come. And so he invites everybody else to make sure that all his preparations don't just go for naught, that they're not wasted, that there's somebody to come to his party. There's several things I think we can learn from this story. Have you ever been invited to a big function, a big activity, a party, a wedding, and you receive something in the mail kind of like this? It's an RSVP, and that stands for something I can't pronounce, something I really don't know exactly what it means. It just means, tell us whether you're coming or not. And you got the two boxes there, accept or decline. In this case, I put on there RSVP before you die, because this is God's invitation, and you need to let him know whether you're coming or not before you die, because if you don't say you're coming to his big function, then you're not going to go. If you don't let him know before you die, and that's what we're going to talk about for a few moments tonight. In the context, Jesus had just got done giving advice to the crowd. They were having a meal. They were talking. And Jesus said, you know, what you ought to do when you have a party or when you have a festival or feast is you ought to invite people that you ordinarily don't invite. You ought to invite poor people, not just rich people, not just your friends. You ought to invite people that are needy, people who could be helped by a good meal. The beggars, the people who are handicapped, the people who need help, invite them. And if you'll invite them, then God will bless you for that. But for whatever reason, one fellow speaks up in verse 15, and he says this, when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, blessed is everyone who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know what prompted this fellow to say this, except for maybe the fact that the association of having a big meal and Jesus talking about inviting people to a meal, and he just got to thinking, well, won't it be great? Won't it be wonderful to be part of the kingdom of God and to sit at table, to share a meal with all of the faithful in the kingdom of God? Won't that be a blessed, blessed thing? And you know, he's absolutely right. It would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, to be part of the kingdom of God, to share a meal in the kingdom of God? And yet this prompts Jesus to make an observation, which is the beginning of our parable. Jesus says in verse 16, he said to them, and that, you know, that but means there's something contrary. There's something not quite in agreement with what you just said, fella. You would think that everybody would want to be part of the kingdom of God, would accept an invitation into the kingdom of God, want to be at that wonderful meal, and yet, here's the reality. He said, a certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. Now, if you have a big dinner in the day and time in which Jesus was speaking, we're probably talking about somebody pretty well off. Somebody who can put out a big spread and invite a lot of his friends and neighbors. Not somebody who is poor, but somebody who's rich, who can afford such a thing. And it would have been a pretty important deal if he went to the trouble, not only to prepare the meal, but also to make a special point of sending out word to all of his friends or the people that he wanted to come to the meal and say, look, this is going to happen. I'm giving you notice. I'm giving you a heads up. Be ready. Be prepared to come when the meal finally takes place. And that's exactly what he does. He invited many. There was a lot of people that he invited. He wanted them to come. He wouldn't have put the meal together if he didn't want people to come, and he wouldn't have sent an invitation to the people that he invited if he didn't want them to come. He wanted them to come. He expected them to come. He had every right to expect them to come. but they didn't come. We read in verse 17, "And at the time that the dinner was to take place, the dinner hour, he makes a separate effort, a second one, to get these people to come to his function. At the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.'" Can you imagine getting an invitation and an alert to come to a dinner and then backing that up, someone actually showing up at your house and knocking on your door, maybe with a limousine, and saying, "Okay, it's time to go. Here's the transportation. Let's go. It's time." The effort that is going into this, the insistence, everything's ready. All you have to do is just come show up. Just come to the party. People that he wanted to be there, he really wanted to be there. Wasn't any lack of desire or intention or preparation on the part of the fellow throwing the dinner. He really expected them to come. He really wanted them to come. And he says to them again, "Come, everything's ready. Everything is ready." You know, all of this, of course, is about God's invitation to His people to come into the kingdom of God. Because that's the context of the statement that God said, "Won't it be wonderful? Isn't it blessed to be in this meal in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? Won't that be a blessing?" And of course, God is the one who issues the invitation, and it's His function. It's His blessing that He wants to impart, and He really wants people to come. And the people who received the initial invitation, He really wanted them to come. He expected them to come. And finally, when the time came for the kingdom to be established and for people to enter into the kingdom, He sent other people to invite them and say, "Now the kingdom is at hand. Come into the kingdom of heaven." But verse 18, "But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I've bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.'" Now, this is amazing, it's astounding, and yet absolutely true that all of them made excuses. All of these people who were initially invited. You would think it would be a blessing to be in this meal in the kingdom of heaven. And yet, so many of them said, "No, thank you. I don't want to come." And they would make excuses. And for instance, the first one said, "Well, you know, I have something that I need to take care of that precludes my ability to come to your meal, to your dinner." And in his mind, that was a perfectly acceptable excuse. I've got this land that I bought, and it's important that I go check it out. It's a pressing business matter. I can't put it off. I need to go take care of that. And, you know, he seemingly very politely said, "Please consider me to be excused." He didn't just blow the guy off. He actually sent word back. He said, "You know, no, thank you. I've got something else more important. So you're just going to have to excuse me, and please do so." Or in the case of this fellow, verse 19, another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen," and we all know how tough it is, you know, when you buy 5 yoke of oxen. He says, "I got to go try them out. Please consider me excused." Well, maybe you don't know how difficult it is to deal with 5 yoke of oxen, but I can imagine it's a chore. I can imagine that you, when you have purchased 5 pair of oxen, that's a matter that needs tending to. But was it sufficient excuse to not go to this fellow's meal? I would imagine that the people to whom Jesus was speaking would have appreciated the fact that it wasn't. that none of these excuses were sufficient. In their day and time, in their rules of social etiquette, these are not sufficient excuses. And yet, to whom does an excuse need to be sufficient, you see, when you're the one making it up? And so in his mind, he said, well, you know, I need to go take care of these five yoke of oxen. You just consider me to be excused. And this fellow here in verse 20, another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And, you know, compared to five yoke of oxen and a piece of land, a wife can be a lot of trouble. And so maybe that's a sufficient excuse. But not really, no. But that's the excuse that was made. I can't come because I just married a wife, you know, and I've got to take care of that. A slave comes back to the master and he says, you know, they all can't come, the people you invited. But I want you to know what it says here. He reported to his master, and then the head of the household became angry. He became angry. What does that tell you? That tells you that the excuses were not sufficient. That the master did not consider them to be excused. That they had insulted him. That they had turned down something that was more important, a greater blessing. That they spurned his generosity, his goodness, and his kindness. And it made him angry. Well, we're talking about God here, of course, and His invitation to His own people. And it tells us that there is no sufficient excuse to turn down God's invitation. That there isn't one. And we need to appreciate and understand that, yes, it's a great honor to be invited to come into the kingdom of God. But it's a great show of disrespect to refuse it. These people are all culpable. They're all guilty. And so is anyone and everyone who turns down God's invitation. You think about what it was that God had to do in order to make His invitation to come into the kingdom of God possible. He had to give His only Son to die on the cross. And for someone to say, no, thank you, not interested. Whatever wrath a person was subject to before because of their own sins is now compounded by the fact that they have turned down such a fantastic and generous offer. The head of the household became angry, and he said to his slave, verse 21, go out and at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. These fellows who have turned me down, I consider them family or friends or people that I could ordinarily count on in order to treat me right. But they have done me wrong. Invite anybody. Invite the people that in that day and time, in that social setting, you know, a rich man ordinarily wouldn't have people like this come into his house. But now the rich man is saying, I don't care. The people that I thought should rightfully come, they've rejected me. You invite these people, anybody. Of course, that's the context in which this whole discussion occurs, is Jesus advising us to help people who don't necessarily have the ability to return the kindness. Help people who can't treat us the same way. Greater blessing. And in this case, this man does it because he just needs people to come to his function, to his dinner. Just invite these people. And that's exactly what the servants do. They go out and they invite the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave says, Master, what you have commanded has been done. And still there's room. There's still more food, more space at your dinner. What should we do? And the master, he says, when there's still room, he says, and the master said to the slave, go out in the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. And this is a fantastic statement when you think about the application that the kingdom of God, this great feast of God's blessing, is open to everybody anybody. There isn't anybody who's not invited. There's room for everybody. There's no pre-selection. Maybe there was initially. Maybe the first invitation was for a select few, but not now. Now the invitation is for anybody and everybody. You go out there and you beat the hedges and you look in the ditches and you find somebody, you grab them and you drag them in. I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's the lowest lowlife. I don't care if it's the poorest of the poor. You find people and you bring them into my house and you fill my house. And that tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that God does not pre-select some to be saved and some to be lost. He wants his house to be filled, and he invites everybody, and everybody is welcome, and it doesn't matter. And then, in terms of spiritual application, the crippled, the blind, the lame, that's talking about people who are sinners, people who are Gentiles, people who are ordinarily considered to be not particularly religious people or are people of good standing. Anybody, everybody, doesn't matter if you're a criminal, doesn't matter if you're a person of bad reputation. God invites everybody in his kingdom. The truth of the matter is that none of us are deserving. Whether you get the first or second or third invitation, none of us are deserving. And the Master, he just wants his house filled, and he sends that invitation out. And that's exactly how we should look upon people around us in the world. We should look upon them, every single one of them, as somebody that God wants at his dinner table. That's the truth. Go out in the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. That's the Lord's intention. And we need to do that. If we have answered the call, the invitation, we need to take as many people along with us as we possibly can, compel them to come in. The urgency, the zeal with which we ought to make that invitation known to people is made clear by this statement. So that my house may be filled. That's what God wants. And it will be. Be many people who answer the call, and they will be there, and we just want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. I want to take as many people as I can. And then he says this in verse 24, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner." This is the downside. This is the sad part of the story, is that the ones who should have answered the call in the first place, they had the very first invitation, the best opportunity, they're not going to even make it. They're not going to be there. And it was their choice. It wasn't the Master's choice. It was their choice. That tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that the only reason that someone's not going to be in God's kingdom in the end is because they choose not to be. It has nothing to do with God's choice. God's choice is for them to be there. But it's an invitation that can be accepted or declined. And in this case, it was declined. And so they're not going to be. You know, the initial application, as I say, is to the Jews. The Jews were first invited into the kingdom of God. Jesus went to the Jews. When his disciples went out after the church was established, they went first to the Jews. And only after a period of time was the message of the gospel given to the Gentiles. And even then, every place that the apostles would go, they would first go to the Jews, take the gospel to them. All of them that accepted were welcomed into the kingdom of God, but those who rejected it, it was their loss. But then they would turn to the Gentiles, and they would make the invitation to the Gentiles in every city, in every town, in every community that they went to. They would ask the Gentiles, because many of the Jews rejected Christ, the Lord invited the Gentiles. Many of them accepted. And from the Jewish standpoint, they would have been comparable to the blind and the lame and the crippled, and yet that's of no concern to God. God wants his house to be filled. And so in a sense, we here today, as Gentiles, we're the blind, the crippled, the lame, and we're in the house of God because we've accepted the invitation. And what a wonderful blessing that is, to accept God's invitation and be part of his house. That's the initial application. But let's extend that application to our situation today and understand that everybody is invited. Everyone is invited. Nobody is excluded. Everyone is welcome. How can the Lord make that any more clear than by this parable? There's somebody that, you know, the slave is going out there, you know, and he said, not that guy. No. Every single person he sees, that's another opportunity. That's another guy that my master wants to come to his dinner. That's exactly how we ought to see it, how we ought to feel about it. Everybody's invited. And everyone has a chance. You know, we're naturally, maybe because of our flesh, because of our way of looking at things, we're naturally prejudiced against people. Different class, different nationality or something. So anybody who's different from ourselves, we have kind of something in the back of our mind that is not as welcoming as it ought to be. And, you know, we have to overcome that. We have to overcome that by thinking properly and thinking clearly and understanding this is a fellow human being and somebody that God loves. And this story teaches us that. Everybody has as much of a, is as welcome as I am, is as invited as I am, is as worthy as I am, because none of us are worthy. Every single human being. And it doesn't matter what their background is or the mistakes that they've made in their life. I know I've made enough in my life. Everybody has a chance. But you know what? It does no good to make excuses when it comes to serving God because of that. Because everybody is welcome. Everybody has a chance. And everybody is invited. Nobody has an excuse. Nobody can say, well, you know, I've got this problem or this issue or there's this barrier. No. There's nothing. Nothing you can throw up. There are no acceptable excuses not to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And I know that there are people who make all kinds of excuses. Why do they do that? Well, they do it to avoid God's judgment. It makes them feel less guilty, I suppose. They say, well, God can't judge me because I have this excuse. Or they avoid their own guilty conscience or the judgment of other people. You know, somebody says, well, you need to go to church or you need to obey the gospel. Well, I can't do that or I'm not able to do that because of this, that, or the other thing. Put somebody off. Just put off the inviter. Or put off themselves, you know. They're thinking, well, maybe I should obey the gospel. Maybe I should declare my faith in God. Maybe I should become part of the Lord's church. You know, I should do that. But, you know, I've got this thing and it really is insurmountable or a problem and it's kind of an excuse. You know, it's somebody else's fault. I can't do it. I'm too busy. I don't know enough. I'll do it later. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's 5 yoke of oxen or a piece of land or a wife you just married or whatever it is. It does not matter. There is no acceptable excuse. None. Not for yourself, not for the people that you talk to and invite. We use that to avoid our own guilty conscience. That's all it does. It does not excuse us. Just as in the parable, the master did not say, oh, well, that's a good excuse. He was angry. He was mad. And that's exactly how God feels about it. And it doesn't matter what you put in this box that says, I don't have to or I can't right now because of A, B, C, or X, Y, Z. It does not matter. He's just as angry. Because you've said no to the greatest and most generous gift anyone will ever offer you. You've said no. For I tell you, verse 24, I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste of my dinner. And that's true of everyone who declines the invitation. Everyone. If you've missed heaven, you've missed it all. And looking back on it from the standpoint of not being in heaven, when this life is over with and you're not in heaven, there isn't going to be any excuse in your mind that's going to make you feel any better about it. not one. It's a wonderful parable, and it teaches us a very simple lesson. Everybody's invited. I'm invited. You're invited. We need to accept the invitation. We need to. There is no excuse. And it's a wonderful blessing. Started out, how blessed is one who sits at the table in the kingdom of God, and that's absolutely right. The greatest blessing that there possibly can be. And that's the invitation that's being made to you tonight. If you're not a Christian, believe in Jesus Christ, the one who told this story, because he's inviting you. Doesn't matter what you got going on in your life. Doesn't matter what complications you're facing. Doesn't matter what issues or challenges or baggage you think you have in your life. There is no excuse not to accept that invitation. Obey the gospel. Declare your faith in Jesus. Be baptized. Have Jesus take your sins away. Be in the kingdom of heaven. Be in it now. Be in it when we all join together in that final festival, that feast at the end of the world. Be at the party. Don't turn down the invitation. If you want to do that tonight, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.
Taylor, if you'd lead our minds in prayer.
Sure. Dear Lord and Father above, thank you for another glorious day that you've given us to be here, to learn more about you and to praise your name and to gather in fellowship. Lord, as we prepare to take of the bread, which represents your son's body, we pray that we take of it in a manner worthy of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let us pray.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so privileged and we embrace and welcome this opportunity to partake of this fruit of the vine.